Good morning. At Shalom, sort of our motto is to love God, love others, and serve well. And today is all about serving. That's what we're going to be hearing about in the readings and the message. And we were hearing about that in that song too, Lord, make me a servant. We seek to serve others to God's glory, not for our own. But welcome, whether you're here physically or else you're here online. With today's technology, you might even be out in the lake watching. I have no idea. But we are here, we are gathered together to praise God. So let's hear from him in his word.
Our first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 through 10a. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 shays of finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Our second reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 28. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. There ends our reading.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your presence here among us this morning, but also your presence through your living word. May this living word speak to us as you intended. Amen. A change of plans. Maybe you've got your day all planned out. Maybe you're really a go-getter. You got your week all planned out. But things can pop up. Things can happen. Maybe I got my week all scheduled here and all of a sudden a funeral pops up or something. Who knows? It's just sort of, boom, got to shift, you know, reprioritize, make it happen. And that's what happened to Abraham here. He's sitting in the shade at the entrance to his tent. It doesn't say the shade, but who wouldn't be? I mean, out in the desert there. But at the entrance of the tent, he's got a nice view. He gets the occasional breeze coming through there. He can sit in the shade. You know, it's the pole position. It's the place to be. And just planning on maybe a nice afternoon, you know, supervising the servants a little bit, helping out with this, that, and the other thing, and then all of a sudden it changes. You got visitors. Three of them appear. This is a hospitality culture. In that region, in that time, and I would hope today, but it's not that way so much today. If visitors showed up, they've been traveling across the desert, well, you welcome them in. You get them a glass of cold water, and you serve them, and it's just what was expected. Today, I don't know how many people are welcomed in. Just people are afraid to even pull over to the side of the road to help someone change a tire or something. It's really, really sad. This hospitality culture is beautiful. It's about serving others. And serving is honoring others. When you serve others, you honor them. You're putting them above yourself when you're adopting the role of a servant. Again, it was big in this culture. And selfless service was also a thing. We'll see that later on with Paul. Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Again, he's serving. He's taking the role of a servant, not just an ordinary servant, but there was different levels of servant within these households that had servants. And to wash feet was given to the lowest of the servants. The higher servants weren't going to do that. They'd give that to the lower ones. Sort of like a specialist or a sergeant telling a private, "You go do that. I'm not going to," right? They just, the lower ranking ones were given that type of duty. So Jesus, in washing his disciples' feet, being a servant, he was making himself the lowest of the low is what he was doing. There's a lot in that. I remember we had done that some years ago on Monday, Thursday. We'd done the foot washing here. And I was one of the deacons at the time. And we washed the feet of people when they came in for Monday, Thursday service. And then Pastor Becky washed my feet. And I found it a whole lot easier to wash others' feet than to have my own feet washed. It's a whole lot easier to serve others than to be served, at least for me. It was a very, very humbling experience. But back to the serving that's happening here. You can do, you know, serving, being nice and being cordial, or you can go above and beyond. And that is what Abraham is doing here. He's got these three visitors. It was the Lord and two angels. It was a theophany. It was God in human form. It happens occasionally throughout the Bible. And the two angels were accompanying him, and they were the ones that would go on and supervise the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. While they're in the neighborhood, they did that too. They had another reason for stopping by. They stopped by for prophecy to let Sarah know that she was going to have a son, at which she laughed because she was in her 90s, but also to take care of Sodom and Gomorrah, who were openly defiant to God. Living in open defiance to God, that's oofta, that's a bad thought. You know, that's going to have a consequence. And of course, Sodom and Gomorrah did. So the Lord appeared to Abraham. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance to his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. The way in which he reacts here, he doesn't go, "Hey, how welcome, how can I help you, or come on in. No, he hurries over there, and then he bows low to the ground. This tells us it's something special. Abraham had encountered the Lord before. We see that in the preceding chapters a couple of times. Maybe he recognized him, or else he knew there was something special or different about these visitors. But he does go above and beyond here. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. He's calling himself a servant in the third person. Again, lowering himself. Let a little water be brought that you may wash your feet. Rest under this tree. Here, have a shady spot. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to, again, your servant. Very well, the answer, do as you say. So what does he do next? He's got preparations to make. He hurries into the tent, not just ambles over there. He's hurrying through all this, because this is a priority. This is important. Hurries to the tent. Sarah, quick, he said, get 3 seahs of the finest flour and knead it and make some bread. 3 seahs is about 36 pounds of flour. So imagine a 10-pound bag of flour. Now a second one, now a third one, and then a 5-pound and a little extra to boot, 36 pounds. And she's going to be needing all of that. You can just, oh boy, 90-some years old, her arthritic knuckles are probably letting her know if you're needing that much flour. She probably has servants helping her as well. So 36 pounds of flour, that's going to make a lot of bread for 3 people. There's going to be leftovers. The servants are going to get a share probably as well. But it's sort of like that where you, oh, come on in and have a little lunch. You know, some elderly lady says, that little lunch, what does it consist of? Is it just a little lunch? No, it's always more, right? You don't leave there hungry. When I go on a visit sometimes too, let's have a little lunch. And I'll guarantee you, I don't leave hungry. Okay. They go above and beyond. There's an art to serving, an art to serving. So next, he runs to the herd. Again, not walking. He ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf. Personally selects it. He could have said to some servant, hey, go get a good calf, butcher it, and prepare it. But he goes out there and personally does it. Again, this personal touch to serving. He's really doing it well. Brought some curds and milk. Bible study, we were talking about curds. I've never made curds before. Anybody? No? Okay. Okay, yeah, it's sort of like a cottage cheese type thing. And yeah, if you want to live out the Bible sometime, maybe we should have an Old Testament meal or something, you know, have some curds and some veal and some milk or something, just try to experience what they're doing, okay? That'd be sort of interesting. Alrighty, and the calf had been prepared. He set these before them. Now, this took a while, too. Remember, we got to bake the bread. We got 36 pounds of flour to make into bread and to bake it. We got to butcher this calf. We got to prepare it, and then serve it as well. So these guests were sitting there for a while. Was Abraham talking with them, interacting with them during this time? We don't know. He was probably busy supervising the preparations while these guys rested in the shade and had a little bit of water. But what he does next? Again, serving. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Wouldn't you think you'd be sitting down with your guests, interacting with them, making sure they felt welcome, you know, hearing their stories, maybe sharing some of your own? But again, taking the role of a servant, he stands a little ways away under a tree. Wow, this is fascinating to me. Again, he must have known there was something special. Maybe he didn't know they're angels. Because Hebrews 13:2 says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. It's entirely possible that you have encountered angels without knowing it. It's right here in Scripture. And if it's in Scripture, I'm not going to question it. Wow. So we should be nice to everybody, huh? Not just in case they're an angel. Okay. It's because of who we are in Christ. When we have taken on this new identity, when we give ourselves to Jesus, we are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And with that new person comes a whole new way of living, a whole new way of seeing things, and a whole new way of interacting with others. So yes, we are kind to others. We are loving. We are joyful people. All these things. And we're not kind to earn anything. Indeed, we cannot earn it with God. We are sinners. The only way we can approach him is because of what Jesus did. We cannot earn it. We cannot be good enough. But let us be kind to others. If we see someone in need, help them out. Absolutely. We have opportunities all the time to do so. Let that kindness define us as Christians. It's who we are and what we do. We're kind to others and we serve others. All right, so these angels then and the Lord take part of this feast, and that's honoring Abraham too, because after all, they don't need to eat. Angels are spirit beings, and of course, God is spirit. They don't need to eat. But by doing so, they're honoring Abraham and what he's done for them. So what just seems like a regular story, you start to dig into it a little bit, you just go, wow, there's so much here, Lord, so much. And there's more, of course. There's layers to Scripture all the time. But the importance of serving others, and again, as followers of Christ, that's what we do. Now, Paul was a follower of Christ, of course, and when he wrote Colossians here, he also speaks in part about serving. Paul never went to Colossae. There was a church that was established there, but from a distance through this letter, he supported them, he guided them, he showed them the way, the proper way to live as a Christian, of course. All of his letters contain much about that, how to live as a Christian. But he talks in here, among other things, about being a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. Paul was suffering a lot, and he rejoiced in his sufferings. That is impressive too. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Okay, which is the church, and now he's referring to that, I have become its servant. The servant of the church. Now, don't think of the church as a building here. The church is the body of Christ. It's all believers. And he is calling himself a servant of all believers, is what he's doing here. He didn't have to be. Paul wasn't getting paid for this. It wasn't a job. It was something he was called to by God himself, by Jesus, on the road to Damascus when he had that vision. It rearranged all his priorities. It rearranged his whole life. He was very dedicated to what he was doing. He was persecuting Christians prior to that and very, very efficient and very thorough. God saw that and said, I can use that. So he gave him that 180-degree switch, and now he is dedicating his whole life to spreading the gospel is what he's doing, voluntarily. Serving should be voluntary. It's not something we get paid to do. It's not something we do for our benefit or our gain. No. To God's glory, we serve others. Again, because of who we are and what we do. So I have become its servant, the servant of the church, by the commission God gave me, on the road to Damascus, to present to you the word of God in its fullness. And that's what he's doing. He's spreading the gospel all over, to Jews and to Gentiles. Serving in this capacity, this missionary capacity. We all have different fields of service. Some might be missions, but for others it's just to build others up, to encourage them, or to help other, those that are in need. We all have these opportunities. So that's what Paul's writing about here, and it also mentions the service. There's one other part in that I underlined as Gwenda's reading. Not to do with service here, but in Paul's writings. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Continue in your faith, established and firm. Absolutely. Let us stand firm, especially in this day and age. Standing firm on what? On this. That's what we do. We stand firm on God's word in a loving way, and we invite others to help or to come and join us as well, and we serve others as a result of that. But let us stand firm on that. And let us encourage others to do so, especially the youth, to stand firm. They are told so many things today that many of them are questionable and a lot of them are counter to Scripture. But let us encourage them to stand firm in their faith, to develop that faith, and not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Just had to add that in there. Okay, back to the topic of serving. Our other example, of course, is found in the gospel. we got Mary and Martha, two sisters who live in Bethany. It's about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Jesus encounters them at least three times. We have three records in the Bible of where he encounters them. This time, right here. The second time is when their brother had died, their brother Lazarus. And then the third time, as he's coming in for the triumphal entry, Holy Week, and then ultimately to die. And we get to, from those three times, glean a little bit of, you know, you get to know the personality of people in the Bible. Thomas, you think about him, right? Everybody thinks the doubter, yeah. And then that other time he said, well, let's go with him. We might as well die with him. You know, I just, okay. So you have this characterization of Thomas. Peter, you know, this brash, just headstrong guy that God used for amazing things. And here we see Mary and Martha. They also have company, just like Abraham did. And they are in the roles of serving, of course. Well, at least Martha, for sure. So Jesus comes into Bethany. Mary, it was probably Martha's house. It says to a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And Mary was probably her little sister. Don't know where Lazarus fit into that, but you know, I don't know the birth order of these. They were apparently well known. Later on in John 11, when Lazarus dies, it said many Jews came to grieve with him, and some prominent Jews. So they were recognized within the community, had some status perhaps. And Jesus stops by. Okay, you get company, you got to get ready, you got to prepare. And that's exactly what Martha is doing. She's out there in the kitchen getting everything ready, making the preparations. She's got Jesus there, probably the 12 disciples as well. She's got like this whole threshing crew to cook for, right? You got 13 people here, at least. Maybe other followers as well. So yeah, there is a lot to be done. And she's doing the right thing. She's preparing. She's serving what we are called to do. Meanwhile, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. You can understand that Martha's get a little perturbed, maybe not saying anything. Maybe she's just sort of slamming the lid on that pot, and maybe she's, you know, who knows what. There might be signs here that she's not taking it well. Finally, he builds up to the point where she has to say something. Alrighty. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. I'm doing all this by myself. And this probably goes back, they're siblings, right? They're sisters from the time they're little, right? If you raise kids, you know how they can be sometimes. You know, he started, no, she started, okay. Not helping, okay. And sort of the same thing continuing here, perhaps. Or maybe Martha felt more of an obligation because it was her home. Or maybe it was just, you know, who she is. Maybe that she takes joy in serving like that. Well, that joy was maybe not so apparent here when she's talking to Jesus about Mary. And Jesus' response, Martha, Martha, he repeats her name twice. That's emphasis. That's significant. That's an attention getter. It happens occasionally throughout the Bible. You are worried and upset about many things. Yes, she is. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. But doesn't someone have to serve? Or couldn't they both sit at the feet of Jesus while first hear from him and then pitch in together in the kitchen? I don't know. But Jesus is saying the importance of spending time with him and listening to him, perhaps. Do we get so caught up in doing other things that we don't spend time at the feet of Jesus? Okay. And I think we could all look at our lives and say the same thing. Spending that time at the feet of Jesus. Wow. Wouldn't that be cool? To just sit at his feet, listen to him, feel his presence, take in the wisdom of his teachings. What could be better? So maybe Mary's got the right idea here. On the other hand, someone has to serve. I'm still, when I read this. And I identify more with Martha than Mary, as many people probably would. But Jesus does things differently. He always does. And he's got his reasons, and I'm not going to question him. I know I should spend more time at his feet. Okay, you'd think that after this, Martha probably came to that realization, you're right, and I'm going to listen to you. Well, let's just fast forward a little bit to their third encounter in John 12. This is after Lazarus is raised from the dead. That'll be the second recorded encounter. There's probably more than that. If Jesus was in the neighborhood of Bethany, he probably stopped by and checked in on him and saw him. These are friends. If you're in the neighborhood in their town, aren't you going to at least give him a call and stop by and connect a little bit? Alrighty, so this is 6 days before the Passover when he's going to be crucified. He's on his last week here. Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. The next two words, Martha served. Okay. All right, maybe it's just who she is. You'd think that she would have turned around after that. Well, what's Mary doing then? It says Martha served. While Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, anointing him again at Jesus' feet. Yeah. Maybe they both have their own ways of serving, because serving is about honoring others. And Martha is honoring him through serving and preparing once again. And Mary, her way of honoring him is by sitting at his feet and this time anointing them, because he's about to go to pay the price for all of us. So may we also have the heart of a servant. No matter how we serve, maybe it's by preparing, maybe by spending time with someone. And what a great way to serve, spending time with someone, honoring them. Maybe it's someone who's in the hospital, you go visit. Or someone that doesn't get out much, you go visit. Or maybe someone that gets out a lot, but you just spend quiet time with them, being there. And God's presence being there through you. So let us follow that example of serving. The example of Jesus washing the feet of others. The example of Abraham setting everything else aside. And let us serve others to God's glory. Amen.